You're listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. You can find notes for this message along with more information about our church by visiting church2911.com. Here's our lead pastor, Rick Hand, with this week's message.
We've been going through our sermon series, Go Teach All. Can you say that for me? Okay. But that's not just our sermon series. This is what God spoke to me last summer about being our focus for this year. And our focus for this year is what? Okay. You're really excited about that. I was really hoping 7 weeks in, you know, you'd be a little more excited about it, right? So we've been going through this. We've done 6 weeks, and now we're going to start the third week. But I want to do a review. I'm sorry, we're starting the last third of the 9 weeks. I want to do a little review of what our baby steps have been, because I know some of you guys, you're really out there. You're already ministering. You're already witnessing, sharing scripture with people. But I know a lot of you are a little scared of that. Never done that before, Pastor. That's out my comfort zone. I'm an introvert, whatever your reasons. And so I've given you baby steps to take every week. And I know you might not have been here for every single sermon. You might have missed one. What happens when you miss school, you miss class? You got makeup work to do, right? So let's make sure you took care of all of it. I want you to do this as we go through these real quick. I want you to make a little mental check mark by each one that you did. And then think about, oh, wait a minute, I missed one, okay? And here's the thing. The very first one was make an invitation. Invite somebody to church. If they've got kids, invite them to our great kids program on Sunday morning. Invite them to teens or invite them to your grow group. Just make an invitation to that. And then the second week was go a little farther. And that means a whole lot of stuff. It just means, you know, what is God leading you to do more than just make the invitation? Thirdly, promise to pray for someone. And I really took it easy on you that week. I didn't ask you to pray in public for someone. I asked you just to tell someone, promise them that you'll be praying for them. You know, so that was another baby step. And then share your story briefly. But share your story. Then pray at 10:02. 2 weeks ago, Brent brought this one to us in his sermon, at the close of the sermon, about Luke chapter 10, verse 2. We'll read it in just a few moments in the middle of this sermon, that we pray and set an alarm. And then I asked you to do that again this past week. And I'm going to encourage you. I'm still doing it. It's still an alarm on my phone every day but Sunday, that at 10:02, I'm praying for God to send workers into the harvest. So I encourage you to keep doing that. Not because we ask you to, but hey, that's just a good thing for us to be praying. And so that's what that was about. And then share a scripture with someone. And, you know, we talked about that last week, that we need to be sharing what Jesus said, not just sharing our stuff and you know, our pet peeves or the things that are most important to us. We need to share this. So what have you not done that you need to back up and, you know, do your makeup work? Okay, but here's another question I asked for you, okay? And especially you introverts, you know, maybe you see this. Is what on this list can you not do? You can do every single one of these things, right? These are simple things to do. It's not really hard or deep things. These are simple things to do. And all of us can do them. And if you remember the sermon where we talked about the Ethiopian and Philip and how Philip led him and that you know, that timeline of possible Ethiopians, you know, life of how all these seeds were planted. That's what these are. These are just seeds being planted. And you might not be the person that prays the prayer that leads someone all the way to Jesus. You might just be that person, you know, that is hitting this one and planting a seed here, an invitation here, those, and just planting those seeds. But all those things come together so that people can be led to the Lord. So make sure, if you haven't done them, make sure you do all these. But start finding your voice. What is it you do so well of this group? Okay, so now we're entering into the kind of the third of set of 3 weeks of this 9-week sermon series. So today's sermon is, you remember, go teach. Today's sermon is go teach all. Thank you. Can you say that word again? All. Do you know what it means? Do we know what all means? Okay, we think we do, right? I mean, you give a definition, or you say, yeah, I know what that means, right? We know it as far as, like, I can give you a definition of those things. But do we really act like we know what it means when it comes to our practice. Are we really going, teaching, sharing all to all? Are we doing that? Here's our scripture right here. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28 and 19. Go teach all. And so what does all mean? All means, first of all, outside your circle, okay? All means outside your circle. Now, okay, some of you may be saying, now, wait a minute, that mean inside my circle doesn't matter? No, but you don't need me to preach to you about that. Because whenever you hear a sermon, or ever you hear your grow group leader, or you hear on Wednesday nights from our teens pastor or one of the leaders, you hear something about we need to share, we need to invite, you're thinking about your inner circle. You're thinking about your family, your close friends, people you go to school with, people you work with. You're thinking about those people. So I don't need to encourage you to think about them. You need to hear a sermon about the people outside your circle, because that's the all that we're ignoring. All right, three places right here. Because when we think of all and the ones that we're missing, we're thinking about those who are geographically, you know, separated from us. Like, I can't go to Mongolia. You know, anybody want to go this afternoon? You know, I can't go to Mongolia. I can send them an offering or something, but how can I really reach all? Great thing is this, though, that Jesus Christ, when he called us, he called all of us to reach all. And so that's the way we can reach all, is because Christians all over the world are involved in this. And listen, I really am taking it easy on you today, because yesterday I scrapped about half of the slides in this sermon, okay? Because I was really going to just preach this really, really fast, and I just realized, yes, there is no way I'm going to do that. So I actually deleted, I think half of my slides yesterday, so I could get through this. But one of the things that I was going to share that I don't have in my sermon notes now, let me share this real quick, okay? Is that we're not alone in this. When you do this, we're not alone, because everybody is involved in this. Christians all over the world, okay? The people sitting around you right now. But also, there's that scripture that tells us the Holy Spirit is the one who brings conviction. So you're not alone in this. The Holy Spirit is doing this as well. But then there's also that scripture in Hebrews that tells us the angels, what are they? The scripture says, what are they? But ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will become heirs of salvation. Who's he talking? He's talking about those people out there that you and I don't know. So the Holy Spirit's out there. Even angels of heaven, they're out there ministering as well. So we're not doing this by ourselves, okay? We just have to do our little part, and your part may seem insignificant, but you need to do it so that all these things add up to eventually, boom, somebody becomes a Christian, all right? So what about outside our circle? We think about some things, but I think one of the things we don't think about is we don't think about other ages. I mean, we think about people in Mongolia or wherever, right? We think about people across town. We think about people downtown. We don't think about people of other ages. But let me say, I didn't share this in the first sermon because I didn't really have it in my notes, but I thought about it yesterday. It's from Friday night, the men's night that we had here, and Pastor Josh, can't remember his name, Sparkman, who spoke and did an excellent job, and he was talking about lions, and you know that lions aren't supposed to be in cages, but something he said just stuck with me, and I shared it with Dave. I said this was so powerful. Is that listen, men, you older men, you know, I'm talking about you, maybe middle-aged and older-aged men and women too, but he said that when lions, he talked about lions, and he said, when lions are absent, hyenas step in and take over. And if we look around us in our world today, there's a lot of places the lions are absent and the hyenas have taken over. And I refuse to let that happen in my family. Come on, can I get an amen? I refuse to let that happen in my family. Got a little Joshua 24:15 going on right here. You know, you decide what you're going to do with your family. But as for me and my house, I'm not going to let the hyenas rule. Amen? You know, so older men, listen, I know, and I've heard the excuses. I've heard the excuses from guys my age, okay? They don't care to hear anything from me. They might not care, but they need to hear it. And let me tell you, you teenagers, you boys and men, teenagers, young adults, even middle-aged adults, you need an older man in your life, in addition to your father, that you can count on, that you can go to, that'll pray with you, and that'll challenge you at times. And ladies, let me say the same thing to you. If you're a teenager, young adult, and a middle-aged adult, you need an older lady in your life, in addition to your mom, that you can count on for advice and counsel and pray with you when you need it. You need that, and you need to embrace it. You need to ask for it. You need to go find that. You need to have those people in your life. Secondly, let's talk about the every battlefield. Last week, I ended the sermon with a great story. You might not have thought it was, but you need to go back and listen to it because it was, okay? Great story about the Civil War chaplain. If you were here, you remember that? Great story. If you missed last Sunday, you need to hear that sermon, okay? That Civil War chaplain, about how he was out there on the battlefield and he was looking for people that he could encourage and could minister to. That's our life. Every single day, everywhere you go, when you go to school, you're walking through the battlefields of this life. When you go to work, you're walking through the battlefields of this life. When you go to Walmart, you're walking through the battlefields of this life. And everywhere you go, there are people around you that are broken, that are injured, that are hurting, that are wounded. And here's part of our problem, what's going on with us, is we're walking through, and we know that, right? We know those people are injured. But do we even stop? Do we even pause for just a moment to consider that someone is broken or hurting? If we don't, then what are we doing? We're ignoring the broken. Now think about a chaplain on a battlefield that is walking through the wounded and ignores them. The people that maybe they aren't shouting out with their voices, but their injuries and their heart is crying out for help. That's where we are, church. And we've got to slow down enough to see those that are hurting that we might be able to help, because that's part of the crowd that's outside our circle, but man, they're just barely outside. There's so much right there. Let me ask you a question. Who's on your prayer list? First question probably should have been, do you have a prayer list? If you don't, right now you can start one, okay? You got a prayer journal right there. You need a prayer. Every Christian should have a prayer list. Who's on your prayer list? Okay, probably is your inner circle. You know, if you're a parent, your kids are on your prayer list. If you're a grandparent, your kids and your grandkids are on your prayer list. If you know, all of us are kids, so our parents hopefully are on our prayer list. And then our close friends, maybe some classmates and people we work with, you know, and so those people are on our prayer list. You know who's not on your prayer list? I guarantee you. Strangers. How many of you have strangers on your prayer list? Anybody? You know, well, there you go. They got one. Didn't have any in the first service either. But wait a minute. How do I add a stranger to my prayer list? Because they're a stranger. I don't know their name, right? That's how you add them. You just write in strangers. Well, I think it's on our list of, when we come together for prayer, like at Dream Night, and the list of suggested things to pray for. I think it's actually on that list to pray for those that we don't yet know, the ones that we're going to meet. You know, we need to be praying for those that somewhere God is going to lead me to somebody I don't know yet, and I need to be praying for those. And people that I might not ever meet, I still need to be praying for them, so we need to be praying for the strangers. Those are people, what, outside our circle that we're not thinking about, praying about, but we need to be doing what we can to reach them. And if all it is praying, then that's what we do. And so here's a fourth kind of class of people outside of our circle. All includes those far from Jesus. Now, as I was saying a few minutes ago, sometimes when we think about reaching all, we're thinking about geographically, you know, where we can't reach. That's not what this is talking about. This is not talking about the people who are geographically or physically far from Jesus. This is talking about people that are not close to Jesus spiritually, obviously, right? So Luke chapter 10, verse 2, and this is the one where I said we pray in every day at 10:02. The harvest is plentiful. Jesus is saying this. The harvest is plentiful. And what is the harvest? Those who don't know God, those who don't know Jesus, right? And is Jesus telling the truth here that there are plenty of them out there that don't know me? Amen? Yeah, it's plenty. But what's not plentiful? The workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So two things right there in that verse. We have a duty to pray for the salvation of the world. That's those who are near to God, us. praying for those who are far from God. That's our duty. That's our responsibility. That's what he has called us to do. That's what he's called us to pray, is to pray for those that aren't yet close to him, but that maybe one day will be. And then also something to note is that that word for send in Luke 10 and 2 is the same word that is translated drive in Mark 1, 12. So when we're praying, we're not praying, Jesus, suggest that your people go out and reach other people. That's not what we're praying. Drive us out of our comfort zone. Drive us out of our circles, our inner circles. Drive us outside of the places that we always go to somebody else that needs us. That's what this prayer is supposed to be about. God, there's a harvest out there and we don't have enough. So Lord, send more people out there. Don't just suggest it, drive us out there. Okay, let me ask you, this has probably happened to you very recently, some of you younger people that are still living at home, but some of you, my age bracket, you know, you gotta think back just a little bit. But let me ask you, those of you still living at home, you ever find yourself, you know, maybe in your bedroom gaming or texting or just spending a little too much time doing, you know, something like that that's just, you know, just an, you know, me, an individual thing. Or maybe if you're my age, you know, and you remember back those Saturday mornings, you know, for those of you who don't know, when we were kids, we didn't have cartoons on a bunch of networks 24/7. We lived for Saturday morning. You know, we just couldn't wait for Saturday morning, you know. I used to actually make a schedule, you know, because also we didn't have DVRs, you know, so you could only watch this cartoon. You couldn't watch these on this other channel at this time. So I wouldn't even make a schedule. Okay, yeah, I was a little OCD of me, but I didn't do that. We live for that, okay? So maybe those of you, you know, that remember those times, did you ever have a day that maybe you were in that third or fourth hour of cartoons on Saturday morning? You know, that, you know, you've been in your bedroom too long doing those, you know, those things that are just, you know, kind of just wasting time. Or you know, been watching cartoons way too much on Saturday morning for just a little bit of time. You ever have one of those times and then dad walks in the room and he says, turn that off and go do something productive? You ever had that? You know, yeah, like maybe turn that off and go outside. Now, that's what I used to hear all the time. Get outside and play. You know, you sit in the house a lot, plenty. Get outside and play. Go do something productive. Go help your mom. Turn that off and come down to the basement. Help me work on something down there. You have one of those? That's what this verse is about. We're asking God to show up and say, you've been doing this that you're doing long enough. Get out of your comfort zone. We need him to step into the lazy boy den of our lives and say, this needs to stop for a little while. Get out there and do something productive for the kingdom. That's what the prayer is right here. And so we ask God to show us that. A couple of weeks ago, Brent shared this story about his math teacher in Chicago. I'd heard that story before, but in his sermon, he shared it as an example. And if you weren't here, again, go back and listen to that sermon. But he talked about how this math teacher separated those who got it from those who just didn't get it. And he only taught to those people that got it, you know. And I thought so much about it. You know, Brendan told us that story, you know, before, and we'd heard it several times probably over the years. But man, I thought about that so much. But I thought about, you know, and how he said it, you know, is that he really was just focusing on those who would get it and not focusing on those. And it got me thinking about this point right here, is we like hanging out with those who already know, and we like teaching those who already know. Here's what I mean. It's so much easier to share your faith story of your life with somebody you go to grow group with than somebody that you've never had a spiritual conversation with, right? We like hanging out with the people who already kind of got it. And really, we like, you know, to, if we're going to witness to somebody, we want to witness to the person that they're almost there, you know? They've had so much seed sown in their life. We like talking to those people, you know? But I got to be honest with you. Years ago, I just realized God didn't call me to the churchy. You know, he didn't call me to the churchy. And I really struggled pastoring, and I still do struggle pastoring churchy people. I don't really have an Apostle Peter calling. I have more of an Apostle Paul calling. I don't feel like I was called to Jerusalem, the churchy people, that I was called to the Gentiles, people that, you know, the churchy people didn't want, you know. It's what I've kind of always felt like. And you know, one of the reasons, and I'll throw this in too, as talking to somebody between services, is that, you know, we're kind of scared to talk to those people. But, you know, you ought to be scared to talk to your friends about Jesus, because you could really embarrass yourself and they're going to remember it the rest of your life. But you embarrass yourself to a stranger, you might not see them ever again. So go ahead and try it with a stranger, okay? But, you know, the reason I struggle pastoring churchy people is because people who are almost there, they've got just enough Jesus to keep them from really getting Jesus. You know, that really they've already got it figured out. Yeah, I know I'm not in church now, but my grandma took me to church. In my grandma's church, they always taught it this way. And the pastor always said this. And so I've already got it figured out. And if we're not careful, us churchy people, because I was one of those, I was raised in church. If we're not careful, we churchy people can have it all figured out and nobody can tell us anything, not even the Word of God. I mean, I've dealt with a lot of churchy people like that, that just literally said things that just didn't line up with the Word of God. And you tell them that and they say, no, but I still believe this, you know, to kind of take a line from Everybody Loves Raymond, that's one of the old sitcoms, Dave, and I watch a lot. You know, if that's you and you say, well, you can't tell me anything, I've already got it figured out, then maybe on Sunday you just need to come stand in the front, let's gather around you and we all worship you, okay, if you got it all figured out, right? I've said this quite a few times, hadn't said it in a while, let me say it again today, all right? Is of all the people that have ever breathed the air on this earth, not a one of them is going to stand before the throne of God and hear him say, you're the only person that had it 100% right. None of us are. None of us are. And that's why I kind of struggle just a little bit with that. Do y'all remember the first week? Y'all remember Bryce Crawford? Remember he giving you his testimony? If you were here, he's the 22-year-old Los Angeles missionary to Los Angeles, 22 years old, who gave his heart totally and completely to God on the day of his suicide. You remember that story? Went to the Waffle House. Yeah, a lot of good stuff that he quoted. And I got a little quote for you right here from him. He says, don't be the smartest guy in the room. You see, that's another thing churchy people like to do. They like to, yeah, I know that scripture. You know, or yeah, I know what that means or whatever. You don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. As a matter of fact, if that's your purpose to always be the smartest person in the room, you're not going to reach anybody for Jesus, because that's not our purpose. Our purpose, as I said last week, is not condemnation. And our purpose, I'm saying this week, is not to be the smartest person in the room. Okay, I'm leading somewhere with this right here, okay? I'm going to say something hard here in just a minute, but when I say this phrase, this little statement right here, if you agree with this, I want you to say amen, okay? Because I want to know where you are, all right? All right, because we are even called to reach people that don't like us. Yeah, we know that, right? Because didn't Jesus say that? What did he say? Pray for those who spitefully use you, love your enemies. Yeah. So we're even called to do that. Now, how do you do that? I mean, because that seems counterproductive. You want me to spend my time with somebody who don't like me? And how is that going to work? You know, because that's what God called us to do. That's not really the hard statement. I've got a really hard one for you here in a second. But let me say this real quick. Set it up this way. You know, a lot of you, you're friends of mine, some of you I just see on Sunday morning, some of you I've been in grow groups with, and you know, we spend some time together, and you know, we talk about things, and you know, it's human nature to assume stuff, right? It's human nature to assume stuff. And so what we begin assuming about each other is, you know, we've talked enough that we think that, man, we think we're just like this, that we agree on every single thing. Okay? And some of you feel pretty close to me, and you probably think that. But imagine after service, I said, hey, I want to tell you something. You know, six or seven years ago, are you back yet? 6 or 7 years ago, we were in that grow group, and you were sharing something with us that was so deep in your heart about something, and you know, you remember that, and you said, yeah, I remember that. I said, I didn't agree with the word you said. Now tell me how does that affect our relationship? Think about that. It's going to impact our relationship, because you thought we were like this. And now you find out that one of the big things in your heart, we're like this. You know, it's going to impact your relationship. So let me use this as an example. Oh, this is a hot topic today. But I'm going to use this as an example, all right? And it's not just about this, but this is a great example. Kind of like that marriage stuff I did last week is not all of it, but it was a great example for all of it. Here's a great example for all of it. Let me make sure I read this right. We are even called to reach both sides of the political aisle. That's about what I got in first service, too. I think I had two grunts and an amen in the first service. Because you're still trying to figure that out. How do we do that, Pastor? You know? Well, you see, I had to make a choice a long time ago. And I didn't like it. And, you know, I got to the place where I began realizing it stinks that as a pastor, I can't just tell everybody what I think about everything. You know, I didn't like it. Everybody else gets to tell everybody what they think, you know, but I had to make a choice. And you do too. You got to make a choice. Here's the choices. We must choose if we want to be political or spiritual. Have you chosen? Some of you might say, no, I hadn't chosen. Yeah, you probably have. You just haven't made it official yet. You know, but maybe today would be a good time to re-choose. We have to choose. And again, this is not just about the politics, but this is a good example for all of the stuff. We have to choose if we want to be spiritual or something else. We have to choose if we want to share our opinions or God's truth. Let me tell you something. People around you, and especially people that you've just met, will never see you as both opinionated and full of God's word. You can come across as opinionated or come across as full of God's word. You can't do both. One of those is going to outshine the other one. Even if you try to do both, it won't happen. You got to make a choice. And we must choose, wrap this up here like this. We must choose if we want to alienate everyone who doesn't agree with us or create the tension that draws them into a search for forgiveness and freedom through God's truth. Because we're talking about reaching all. All. We're talking about reaching all. There are some people, if I said, if you agree with this scripture, I want you to give a great big roll tide. There are some people that write me off. Wouldn't hear another thing I said this morning. That's what we're talking about here. When I espouse an opinion that is divisive, then I put up a wall between me and several people, or several groups maybe even. And I don't agree with everything going on, but I got to choose. Is it my opinion or is it God's truth? Because if I tell God's truth, it's going to be a whole lot more happen. Do I want to change? I thought about this one later, should have added this one to that list. We must choose if we want to change minds or hearts. Do we want to change minds or hearts? Let me ask you another question. How many of you think feel like you're spiritually mature, don't raise your hand, okay? Because if you do, that's kind of like saying, how many of you are humble? Raise your hand. How many of you feel like you're spiritually mature? I'm setting you up. Yeah, that's why I didn't want you to raise your hand, okay? How many of you feel like you're spiritually mature? Ephesians chapter 4 is a chapter about spiritual maturity. That's what the chapter is about, okay? And so if we want to talk about being spiritually mature, here it is. In verse 15, I think, is a good little summary. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking truth in love. Wait a minute, can you do that? Can you do it? Not the way we do it. But when we become spiritually mature in Christ, we'll figure out how. You can mess up on both sides of that. You can be too much of either one. That's why we got to pray, God, help us to speak truth in love. Because you can be so tactful that you're not speaking truth anymore. I kind of said that last week. You know, we got to share everything Jesus said, not just the stuff that are our pet peeves or the things that, you know, the things that we really love in the scripture. You can be so tactful that you never speak truth, but you can also be so truthful that you have no compassion. You know, somebody said, you don't always speak the truth. All right, and I understand what they're saying, but that's really a dangerous way to say it. They're saying sometimes you got to back away from that a little bit. You can't share all the truth with somebody every single day. You can't just, you've got to share the truth. How? In love. So if we're going to reach all, we might need to make some adjustments here, right? If we're going to reach all. We got to make some adjustments with some choices, and not just these choices. And listen, it's not just about politics, because if I decide, listen, I'm going to be a political pastor, or I'm going to be a funny pastor. And everybody's going to laugh, you know. And I that's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be a homer for those guys down in Tuscaloosa. That's what everybody's going to. I mean, I know pastors like that, you know, not necessarily Alabama, but I know some Georgia and LSU fans, the pastors. I mean, that's one of the things they're, you know, their church knows about that. I can decide if I'm going to be those things or if I'm going to be an espouser of the truth of Jesus Christ, because that's the only thing that's going to change somebody's eternity. So I want to give you a baby step for this week, okay? Maybe you've got a little idea of what it might be, okay? Here's the baby step. Pray for opportunities outside of your circle. Okay, you introverts, just take a few slow breaths, okay? And you're going to pray, God, give me an opportunity outside of my circle. Can you pray that? Because we'll never reach all. We will never reach all as long as we're just reaching people outside our circle. Man, I thought about this, and I wrote it down in my notes, and I said, I don't know if I can say that. But it just came to my mind, and I always pray, God, tell me what I need to say and what I need to leave out. I didn't say it in first service. But, you know, if we just reach our circle, our churches are going to get wider. Amen. If I only reach people in my circle, my church is going to get wider. Our church is going to get whiter or blacker or more Hispanic, and it will get older if I'm only reaching people in my circle. I got to make a decision to break some things down, to change some things about my approach. And here's your good scripture to push you that way, Colossians chapter 4. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing what God has laid on his heart and inspired to write to us. Devote yourselves to prayer. Being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. And look where he's saying this. He said, pray for God to open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. He's in prison for preaching about Jesus. And he said, pray that we get opportunity to preach it even from here. Okay, can we push ourselves just a little bit? This is a guy in prison saying, I want to preach outside my circle. Can we push ourselves a little bit? He goes on. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And then he starts talking directly to us. Be wise in the way you act toward strangers, outsiders, the people outside your circle. Be wise in the way you act toward them. Make the most of every opportunity. We can't reach all unless we're making the most of every opportunity. That means all opportunities. That's our sermon today. We got to make the most of every, all opportunities. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. What's that? Speaking in love, in truth. Full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. If you have a need, we would love to pray with you. You can connect with our prayer team by emailing prayer@church2911.com or by texting 205-476-2911. You can learn more about our church by visiting us online at church2911.com and by connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram at Church2911. We hope this message has encouraged you and reminded you that God loves you and has an amazing dream for your life. As always, we dare you to dream.